Shalom Aleichem from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. It is my great pleasure to be the representative of our yeshiva in the holy city of Yerushalayim. I miss you all terribly. I don't know what Rosh Hashanah is going to be like without you. You're so lucky to have yeshiva, especially for Rosh Hashanah. Ashreichem, and my heart is with you. Please have me in mind too. My name is Chaim Doiv Ben Chaya Rachel, Hatzlacha Bechol Anyanim. Please keep me in mind. We're here, we're right before Rosh Hashanah, and it's been an amazing Elul, and I want to get into the zone, and we have to really know what to do over here, because Elul, as we explained, was Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li. I am to my beloved, and my beloved is to me. And as we pointed out, normally in the olden days, they would say Elul and they would faint. Elul! Shabbos Mavarch and of Elul, they would hear the words Elul, faint. But today, we don't do that. But either way, the Yisoid of Elul, even for the people who fainted back in the old days, was a relationship with Hashem. Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li. And anything else that seems scary wasn't what was significant about the time period. It was called Yemei Ratzon, days where you're close with Hashem. What does Ratzon mean? It means where Hashem wants to have a relationship with us. And Rav Shlomo Volbe Zatzal, the great Mashkiach, had a cheder, he was in charge of Chavis Das. He instructed the Ganenet, the nursery teacher, not to teach the whole thing about Rosh Hashanah with the scales, you know, those pictures with the scales, the mitzvos, the averis. He said not to do that for children, not to teach them that that's what Rosh Hashanah is. What should you teach children, little kids? That Hashem becomes king on this special day. Why? Because it's dangerous to start with those scales. Those scales are a little bit scary. And it's not the yisoid, the root of the day. The day is HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes king. We're coronating the Melech. But at the end of the day, who are we kidding? Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Melech Mishpat. And if Hashem is king, there's going to be judgment. And judgment is scary. So how do we deal with all of this? We're coming into the Yom HaDin. So we have to really understand. We have to really understand what's going on over here. You know, there's a new biography that sold like crazy, but that never moves me, you know, a lot of things sell like crazy. But I actually read it and it's moving me like crazy. It's an incredible biography, Rav Trenk. I recommend anyone who can get their hands on this biography. I think it's called Just Love Them. It's about Rav David Trenk, who was an amazing mechanech in the Adelphia Yeshiva. And the theme of this biography is just love them. That he just showed his Talmidim how much he cared about them, how much he loved them. And that was his shita and chinuch, just love them. And the question is, how could that be a shita and chinuch? You know, I'm trying to be a thinking person. Like, what do? You just go around and hug your Talmidim, and today you'd get sued for that. So you can't do that, especially you can't kiss them. So what are you going to do with these Talmidim? Just say, I love you, and they're just going to be great. So there's something very deep over here. And that is, of course, a Rebbe's job is to be mechanech, to help people get to the next level. However, sometimes we feel Rebbe has an agenda, right? I love that word. He's got an agenda. Everyone thinks like Rebbe Amram, like working for the FBI or worse, the KGB. I don't know. And it's like, he has an agenda. What's he up to over here? Why does he care if I'm coming to chakras? What's going on, right? He has an agenda, or my parents have an agenda. They're trying to relive their childhood through me. They want me to be what they wanted to be. They have agendas, right? And if we feel that someone doesn't really care about us. And I don't mean just, I love you because I'm your parents, or I love you because I'm your Rebbe. No, really care about our interests, then it's hard to hear anything from such a person. One of the stories in the book, an amazing story. I can't tell you I would do the same thing, but that's why you read books, to surprise yourself in Chinuch. Rav Trank saw a bacher with a book that wasn't befitting of a yeshiva bacher, and he disposed of the book, maybe even ripped it up. And the bacher was so upset, he said, I have 5 more pages of that book. I was just at the end, Rebbe. Anyway, okay, very nice. It's an inappropriate book. Rav David Trank came back a little while later, and with a little pamphlet of the last pages of the book. Now, he had already disposed of this book, so where did he get it from? He bought a new copy. He took the last couple pages and he edited it. He cut out, crossed out all the inappropriate things, said, here, you can read the rest of this book. What is that? That's a very interesting story. But what I see from over there, he says, I want you to finish this book. I'm not here to push you away from things. I want you to have what you want. But I want you to grow. I want you to be clean. I want to edit this thing. That's how you forge a relationship. You can't just love people. But if you really love someone in that way that you want the best for them, then you can ask them to do anything, because they see that from this relationship, I'm going to get further because he cares about me. How does this relate to Rosh Hashanah? Once I was speaking to a bacher, and you know, these things don't happen every day, but all of a sudden he had an outburst. He got angry. He says, I don't understand what Hashem wants from us. What does he want? Just to serve him, to bow down to him, to sacrifice to him, to pray to him. Why does he want all this from us? Why can't he just let us be? I was like, whoa. I'm not trained for this. You need like a doctorate in being a mashgiach to handle that question. I'm like, nice weather we're having. What do you say to this thing? It's like, what, to bow to him? Like, relax. But what's going on over here? In this boy's eyes, I actually hear what's happening. He's saying, wait a second. Hashem created a world that we have to make him the king, and we have to serve him, and we have to thank him all the time in great detail. When it's a Bori Priya Dhamma, we have to say Bori Priya Dhamma. And then when it's Bori Priya Eitz, we have to say Bori Priya Eitz. Why can't we just say thank you? Why do we have to be so detailed? What is all this? This is how he was experiencing his Avodas Hashem. And this is a terrible tragedy. A terrible tragedy. And if we go into Rosh Hashanah looking at ourselves like we are coming to make Hashem happy, that's what it is, because Hashem needs us to bow to him, needs us to recognize him as a king, and this is one of the things that Hashem needs for himself. I don't know why I'm here, what this has to do with me, but this is what Hashem had in mind for himself. That is a tragedy, right? Imagine what Hashem has from all this. I'll give you an example, right? Let's say I have a very fragile ego, right? Which I do. I have a very fragile ego, and my friend gives me an etzah. He says, buy an ant farm. Okay, so I buy an ant farm. He says, actually, buy 30 ant farms. Buy 30 ant farms. Put on a crown. So I put on my crown, right? And send out the ants all around and put Cheerios on the floor and go, you, pick up that Cheerio, bring it over there, right? You, collect all the dust over there, right? And I spend all the day screaming at my ants and telling them what to do. Wow, that would be really a great thing for my ego, right? No! Why? Because they're ants. They're nothing. Why would Hashem want us, little pieces of dirt and clay and nothingness, to serve him? What does Hashem get from this? If anything, you'll excuse me for saying it, it's embarrassing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ein Sof, he has no limits. He's the greatest being that can't be defined in any terms. And now little old me is going to serve him, bow to him, thank him? What does he need me for? And the Ramchal in Derech Hashem says that this is the great humility of Hashem. What? This is the humility of Hashem? Yes. Let's look in the Derech Hashem. Here it is. Live from Yerushalayim, Derech Hashem. The Ramchal. He says, Ratza b'tuvoy v'chasto. Hashem in his great goodness and kindness. Lahashbil k'viyachol b'anvaraso esrum kvodu. He wanted to lower his own kavod. Hashem wanted to lower his kavod. Lios misyachis al nivrav. To have a connection with his creations. Us, Klal Yisrael. Apal p'yishu be'emes ein lohem yachas imo klal. Even though we don't stand a chance for making Hashem happy, how could we make Hashem happy? We're these little nothings that Hashem created. He's an Ein Sof. He has no gvul. V'ratza lioslam b'madregas melech el am. Hashem wanted, out of his goodness, to let himself be a king and that we could be his nation and that we could actually contribute. We could actually make Hashem happy. We could make Hashem proud. All of this is the great humility of Hashem. Hashem, because he loves us, actually created a system that we could make a difference. He created a world that's filled with really strange things, really strange people who don't recognize Hashem. It's a world that basically Hashem made on purpose broken. He created a nation called Klal Yisrael who has a mission that if they recognize Hashem, they will make him proud, like a proud father, and they will fix this world. He made a broken world just so we could fix it. That's what he did. He did it because he wanted us to have a role and a connection with him. That's the whole purpose of Hashem being a king. Olam chesed yibaneh. Hashem created a world of chesed. No, he didn't. What do you mean? Hashem created din, judgment. No, that's not the pshat. Hashem loved us so much that he gave us a world where we have what to do and that we could make a difference and we could make him proud. And it's not embarrassing for Hashem. It could have been embarrassing. It's very embarrassing. We're little nothings. But Hashem gets nachas from us. And this is pshat. Listen to a gra. Mwah! From Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh. Actually, this was written in Vilna, but then it was transported to Yerushalayim here, and now I'm sending it back to Pennsylvania. The Gra writes in Birchas Kriyashma, it's actually his son who brings the Vart, who explains from the Gra. Toiv Yatzar Kavoyed Lishmai. What does it mean? Toiv Yatzar Kavoyed Lishmai. Toiv Yatzar Kavoyed Lishmai. Toiv means good. Hashem did something good. What good thing did he do? Yatzar, he created kavod lishmo. He created the ability for me to serve him and give him honor. Why is that called Hashem did something good? Toiv! Hashem did something good. What did he do? Yatzar kavod lishmo. He created the ability for us to give him honor. You know why that's the greatest thing that Hashem could have done for us? To let us make him a king. You can't have a king without a people. If all of Klal Yisrael decides to skip out on Rosh Hashanah, there will be no kingdom. You can't have a king without a people. Ein melech b'lo am. The greatest chesed that Hashem did was he made us needed by him. He made us actually matter. He made our compliments matter. Shehakol mi'evin v'ro. Great start. Wow, you just complimented Hashem. That's really great. Way to go. I'm sure Hashem really cares that you said that the world was created all by him and he created a Borei Bri Adama. No, that's the whole world. Hashem cares. Toy Yatzar. Hashem loves when I say Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. You're the king of the world. Hashem needs my compliments? The answer is yes. because he wanted a relationship where we can make a difference. And that's the beauty of the powerful tefillah that we say, one of the most powerful tefillahs, Avinu Malkeinu. What's Avinu Malkeinu, our father, our king? I would like to edit this a little bit and get a little serious over here. I'd start with Malkeinu, our king, Avinu, our father. I mean, let's start with the intense name. The answer is no, you missed it. You missed it. You want to know what your relationship with Hashem is as a king? You can't understand who Hashem is as a king unless you know he's your father. It's not the pshat that Hashem's two things. He's an Avinu, he's a father, and he's a Malkeinu, he's a king. No! If we want to understand what a king is, the Hashem as a king, as the Melech Malchim Malchim, we have to know he's the father who's the king. Meaning it's an uptight in the king. The whole reason Hashem is a king is because he loves us like a father. He did this all so that he could have a relationship with us. There's no Malkeinu without Avinu. Avinu is the context of the Malucha of Hashem. Is Hashem says, I love my nation, and now I will become their king. I will let them have a role in the world to bring me honor and fix the broken world that I set up for them to achieve greatness, get Olam Haba, bring Mashiach Tzidkenu, Gevaldik! That's the deeper understanding of what Rosh Hashanah is. And I'll tell you something shocking. I'm going to shock you. I love shocking you. I love shocking myself. There's something very troubling that we're about to deal with, and that is the following. The Zohar HaKadosh, in Zohar Chadash, writes, we know there's a parsha of Eishes Yifas Tayr. You find a woman in war, and Lo Dibra Tayr El Kineged Yetzahara, that you can't help yourself. You marry the girl, you let her sit for a month and cry about leaving mom and dad or Avodah Zarah. She cries and cries and cries, the shiksa for leaving her family, and then you continue your relationship with her. Okay, says the Zohar HaKadosh, this month that this lady is crying, what month is it? Meaning, what does it represent, this idea of her crying for a month? It represents El. Interesting. El. Okay. Yeah. And her crying represents the tshuva process from Cheda Ega. Okay. This is an interesting place to put a remez for El, a woman who's a goy, right? Crying, a shiksa crying. So she wants her mommy and daddy. She doesn't want anything Jewish over here. She's like, get me out of this Jewish home. I want to go home to mommy and daddy. If you would ask me, and Baruch Hashem, nobody asked me, which is a relief, I would not put a remez for El in this parsha. It seems totally inappropriate. And to make things worse, the Aruch brought by Tosfos, and many of the poskim bring this. Why do we have 100 koilos, 100 shofar blowings on Rosh Hashanah? Keneged the 100 cries of the mother of Sisera. Sisera was this great warrior who fought against the Yidden, and his mother, right, another shiksa, was waiting at home crying, when is my Russia Marusha son going to come home from destroying all the Yidden? Oh, what's going on over here? We're blowing shofar because this lady's crying? These are two ladies that I would never want to bring up on Rosh Hashanah. Eishes Yifas Tayr, Jennifer, okay, and Aim Sisera, the mother of one of the worst people that ever lived, okay? And now they're both crying like, wow, this is such an inspiring schmooze for Rosh Hashanah. Come on, what's going on? What is going on? So we better buckle our seatbelts, because I would like to discuss something that's so geschmack and so exciting. and it's going to really give us the idea of what Rosh Hashanah is. There's a Rambam. The Rambam is famous, but all famous things you have to see inside, because the Lashon is not so famous. The Rambam writes, why is there a mitzvah sending away the mother bird, Shiluach HaKan? It's because the Rambam, it's famous that the Rambam says, because mercy, you can't take a mother bird and in front of her kids, take away the kids. It's terrible. The Rambam writes something more and startling. And when I read this, I did Shiluach HaKan afterwards. I even felt a little uncomfortable because it was intense. The Rambam writes, why do you have to care about a mother bird with her eggs? He says, you think that humans care about their kids more than birds, more than animals? He says, you're wrong. Because the love of a mother to a child in the animal kingdom is just as strong. That was shocking to me. Just as strong as humans. And when you separate a mother from her children, you should view yourself like you're doing that cruel thing. Emal banim. Mom is taking away, even like just seeing a human taking away children from a mother. Could you imagine something so cruel? When I saw this Rambam, it was very hard for me afterwards to do Shiluach HaKan, but I did it, but it was hard. The Rambam writes that this is something that's part of the Bria. Even the animals have this connection. And I would like to suggest the following thing. Why do we learn that Elul is like a woman, even a shiksa, crying to go home to mommy and daddy? She wants to go home so badly. Or Aim Sisera, the mother of a Russian Marusha. Because we don't want to be too religious over here. Let me explain why. When we get to the root of what Rosh Hashanah is, we might all of a sudden just start with the scales again. Mitzvos, Averos, and that's normal, and we do that. But we're missing the boat. Rosh Hashanah is about a mother and child, the most basic, even secular mushel of connection of two beings. That's our relationship with Hashem. And forgetting all of the judgment, forgetting all of the din. You could even use a mushel, you'll excuse me for saying it, of a Yafas Tayer and Aim Sisera, because it gives you a better understanding of how Hashem loves you unconditionally. It's natural. It's part of the Bria. It's like a bird to its own children. That's how we understand Ani L'Doidi V'Doidi Li. That's how we understand Rosh Hashanah, our connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After we understand Avinu, we get it that Hashem didn't need any of this. He didn't have to want any of this. He created all of this because he's a father, because he wants us to grow. Then we approach Malkeinu, the din, and we start to understand, hey, Hashem doesn't have an agenda over here. Hashem's not out to get me. Why is there a day of judgment? It must be because Hashem loves me. Well, why would it be so scary if he loves me? And the answer is that when you really care about someone, you want them to be important. You want them to be special. You want them to rise above. And you deal with them alone, like they're mamish, like you expect things of them. When you don't expect something of someone, you don't care about them. You do whatever you want. You're nothing. You always will be a nothing. I don't care, do this, do that. Hashem cares about every detail of what a yid does. And it is a scary judgment because Hashem really believes in us. Why is it that we're judged individually? We mentioned last week, kibnei maran, one after another, like sheep, one after another. You don't think that Hashem could just judge all of us one, practically, just judge us all in one big group and shalom al Yisrael, we'll get out early. Right, it'll be gavaldic. Why do we have to go one by one? Here comes Stark. Here comes Schwartz. Here comes Shapiro, right? Let's at least do families. We'll do the Shapiro family. We'll do the Stark family. Why is it one by one by one? The answer is because Hashem cares about each one of us like an only child. And that means that each one of us needs our own Rosh Hashanah with Hashem. We need each one of us to have an eye-to-eye conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Eye-to-eye. Ayin ba'ayin yira Hashem. I never really understood what eye-to-eye meant. I wasn't going to say this, but I'll tell you now because it's something that's been on my mind. Everyone says eye-to-eye. Over this whole period of time, I learned what eye-to-eye is because I've actually forged two people in my life now I became close to from only seeing their eyes. They wore masks, and I got to know them from their eyes. I don't really remember their face. I only remember their eyes. I learned a lot about eyes. I've been studying eyes. I never used to pay attention to eyes. I see eyes that are merciful, eyes that are inquisitive, eyes that are curious, eyes that are gentle, eyes that are disdainful. And eyes are the way of connecting. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a tahor einayim. He has pure eyes. And we have an eye-to-eye conversation on Rosh Hashanah, zoned in to each other. Because Hashem loves us. And Hashem believes in us. And Hashem's not going to let us just think that we're nobodies. What kind of judgment is this anyway? Right? This is you'll excuse me for saying this, but this is a circus. There's a judgment, okay? We're all coming in front of the Melech Malchei Hamlachim. This should be the most serious court case known to mankind. All of a sudden, somebody comes into the court case, takes out a trumpet and goes, right? Usually it's order in the court, order in the court. Listen, this guy, be quiet. We're in the middle of a court case. What are you doing? What's he doing? Right? They don't let soda into the courtrooms. You think they let trumpets into the courtrooms? And not only do they let him in, but this is planned. Right? We all know that in the middle of the court case, there's going to be a shofar. You know what happens? Hashem goes from the Kisei Hadin, from the seat of judgment, and then goes to the seat of mercy, of Rachman. You call that a court case? It's rigged. It's fixed. Come on. We know we're going to blow that trumpet. We know we're going to blow that shofar. Why is this our judgment? You know why? Because this is how we have to think about Rosh Hashanah. Hashem wants us to win. This whole idea of judgment is so that we take life seriously, so that we become men and stop making ridiculous excuses for ourselves. We get up and we do and we become better roommates, better friends, better brothers, better sisters, everything. Better talmidim, better rabbeim, better husbands. That's why Hashem judges us. It's because he cares about us. And yes, there's something about this judgment that there's all sorts of tricks going on to try to make it totally change so that we could succeed, so that we could grow, so that we could become big. We will never feel good about ourselves if we get handouts. The Mekubalim write that if we would go to Olam Haba and just get handouts, we wouldn't feel good about ourselves because we wouldn't have become men. We would have been a chesed case of Hashem. Hashem doesn't want chesed cases. He wants us to feel good about our achievements, right? We don't like empty compliments, right? Something to give someone, this compliment, and it's like, get away from me. That's not a real compliment. You're just saying that. Like, it was a delicious suda. No, you didn't eat anything. Your plate was empty. Don't tell my wife it was a delicious suda. Eat! Right? Be real! We don't like empty compliments, and we don't feel good about doing nothing. That's why Hashem said that we have to get it together. It's called Nahama de Kisufa, the bread of embarrassment. A person has to achieve to feel good. That's the whole reason Hashem's judging us, is because he's a father who wants us to be challenged, who wants to feel accomplished. You're right. Greatness does come with responsibility, but it's a great price to pay. It's a great price to pay. And I'll say something else very interesting. The Gemara in Tainus says, Mamish 13 taniyas, 13 fasts. The Rebbe Lezer was gozer, and the rain wouldn't come down. They needed rain. All of a sudden, what happened? Rebbe Lezer said 24 tefillas. It didn't go. He wasn't answered. All of a sudden, Rabbi Akiva comes. And he starts saying, Avinu Malkeinu, Ein Lanu Melech Elata. Avinu Malkeinu, this is on the Gemara. Leman Charechem Aleinu. And all of a sudden, the rain started pouring down. So you know what happens in the Gemara? The Gemara says that all of a sudden, people start thinking, Rabbi Akiva's bigger than Rabbi Lezer. I mean, Rabbi Lezer, nothing happens, and Rabbi Akiva does, and all the rain comes down. A bas kol came down from Shemayim. And said, no, Rabbi Akiva is not greater than Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Akiva is just mavir al midosav. He lets things slide. He lets things go. Interesting. The Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva, I guess unusually, would let things slide. Things would bother him. He would let them slide. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Zayin that whoever is mavir al midosav, who lets things slide, Hashem lets things slide with him too, right? It's a great trick for Rosh Hashanah. When you let things slide, then Hashem lets them slide for you. You know, this year, we have a din, and Hashem's going to say, new, stark, you didn't produce so much this year. You could do better. And I'll say, Rabbona Shalom. It was the year of Corona. And Hashem will, if I'm a mavir al midosav, if I let things slide, he'll go, Taka, it's Corona year. You deserve a freebie, Stark. Right? But if you're somebody who doesn't let things slide, Hashem will say, Corona! Give me a break! Be a man! The way we are with other people, that's how Hashem is with us. And the Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva was spectacular in the midah of mavir al midosav, of letting things slide, and that's why he was answered. But I would like to make things deeper over here. What tefillah did Rabbi Akiva say over here? Avinu Malkeinu. That tefillah, Avinu Malkeinu, that's exactly what mavir al midosav is. And I'll explain. What does it mean, mavir al midosav? Rashi explains in Rosh Hashanah that when you're angry at someone, you have a judgment on him. You have a din. You're upset. You have a taina. It's even legitimate. What do you do when you're mavir al midosav? You change your perspective because you love the person and care about him, and you'd rather see him in a better light. That's exactly what Hashem does on Rosh Hashanah. Hashem has a kisei hadin, and there are all sorts of tainas. And all of a sudden, Hashem says, it's the Corona year, and it was very hard for the boys, and it's very hard to have phones in this generation to be stuck alone for 6 months. And he goes from the kisei hadin all the way to the kisei rachamim and says, Rabbosai, let's get rid of this whole Corona thing, and you're going to steigevelt, and let's just move forward. Hashem is mavir on his own midos. That's what Hashem does. Why? Because he's an Avinu Malkeinu. He's really a father, and he's a father as a king. And you have to understand that he's, as much as he's a king, he's a king that's a father. And he wants us to win. And Rabbi Akiva, perhaps, this is why he was so effective in his Avinu Malkeinu, because he was living it. He let things go. He let things slide. He had reasons to be makbid, and he didn't. He was living like a Kadosh Baruch Hu, like an Avinu Malkeinu, like someone who has a melech persona, who could throw the books at us, and instead he goes to the Kisei HaRachamim. This is the amazing experience of being a Yid. Toiv Yatzar Kavoy B'Shmai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a malucha, a kingdom. He put on a crown for us little simple ants so that we could be big, so that we could be connected to infinity, so that we could have a shaychus with our creator, so that we could become somebodies. And that's the simcha of this judgment. That's the simcha of Rosh Hashanah. And Rosh Hashanah in our yeshiva is so upbeat and so geschmack. The nigunim, I myself am ready to leave and go back to my suda. It's time. I'm looking at my watch, and the bachrim don't want to end the last kaddish. They ke'ilu don't want anything else except to be with the Rabbona Shalom. That's what happens in our yeshiva. Why? Because this is a day where we feel so significant in the eyes of Hashem. We feel so wanted. We feel so cared for. And if it comes with a couple of expressions of Stark, you could do better. Stark, come on. Let's see if you could get things together this year and learn from your mistakes. I'm willing to take it. If I have someone who believes in me, if I have someone who really cares about me, who has absolutely no other agenda than making me great, I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to hear, and I'm willing to grow, and I'm willing to connect, and I'm willing to attach to my Father. And that's what it's all about, my friends. A ksiva v'chasima toiva, a good gebenched yar. It was a very hard year. And everyone struggled, and Hashem knows we struggled, and Hashem understands what we went through, and Hashem is sitting on the Kisei HaRachamim, and he's waiting for an amazing tough shin pei aleph. He saw the beauty of the end of Tav Shin Pei, and we go after the chasima. We always look at the end. Look what's happening at the end of Tav Shin Pei. It's only going to pale in comparison to what's going to be next year, Tav Shin Pei Aleph. Siva chasima tova, kol tuv sela from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh.